in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who? Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It's Friday, October 11th. Someone used the term, we are well into October recently. And I was like, we are. It seems like it was the first moments ago. And already we're like rocketing toward the number that's been on our calendar for a year now, the 17th, which is our final full moon energy show.
Less than a week away. You hopefully are going to be there in person to check it out.
I will. I'll be there.
You, well, I'm a maybe, but Heather is for sure going to be there. We hope all of you will be there, though. Even if you've seen the show before, or if you haven't, this is the last time to catch it, and it's been so much fun. It's all centered around the moon, but it's everything you love about the podcast. Mysterious, macabre, legend, lore, true crime, cryptids. What really happened up there on the moon during the Apollo missions?
How did we get here? Are aliens real? You'll hear it from the astronaut's mouth via me, as usual. But it's everything you love about Sinisterhood, like Christy said. But we're not releasing it on the main feed. You got to be there in person, or you got to join the global streaming event via Moment House's Moment platform. If you're in, literally, we had folks from Australia checking in today in our Facebook Patreon group saying, I'm going to be there. So shout out to our Brisbane homies that is going to be tuning in down under. But just like them, you can join from the comfort of your own home and then watch it even after the event for 14 days. So be sure to go to moment.co/sinisterhood to join the virtual option. And if you're our Patreon member, make sure you connect Patreon to Moment so that you can get access to the post-show Q&A for no extra charge if you're so sinister tier and above. It should just let you add it and then not charge you for it. So you interact with us in the chat, be there live from wherever. We're so glad. Yeah. Like, it's not just in Dallas can be there. We're going to have tons of energy in the room, but we're going to be feeling it coming through the moon, through everyone else.
From all time zones, too. So many. And from the chat with Moment, we will be taking questions, too. So if you are remote and watching, you can still submit your questions for the Q&A, and we will definitely take a certain amount of questions from the chat. It's going to be so much fun. Go to sinisterhood.com/live shows. There's some tickets left, but it's very possible this one sells totally out. VIP is already sold out, but you can still come and just have so much fun. And there may be some special guests.
There, oh yeah,
there might be
..
There might be pending some special guests. Just so a brief,
keep it
brief,
in mind.
Brief cameo,
a short cameo, but
short we'll, cameo
might make it happen. Well, you'll have to find out either in person or at the moment. So go to sinisterhood.com/live shows and moment.co/sinisterhood. And yeah, it's like bittersweet for it to be ending, but we can end it all together.
Yeah, it's gonna be on the Hunter's Moon, too, which is one of the most full moons that we've had in quite a while. So it seems very fitting that that just happened to work out. We did not tell them when to, you know, schedule the show. So it seems serendipitous.
It's serendipitous indeed. Well, on to a less exciting announcement, but hopefully one that's going to help a lot of folks. I'm sure, as you all know, you might not know if you're outside the U.S., but Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton have caused devastating damage to our friends all across the southeastern U.S. The communities there are in serious need of help, and we want to do our part, but we need your help.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. The emails we've received, just the TikToks, everyone's watching the news. If you live in that area and you've had to evacuate, or if you're still there, our hearts are so with you. We personally have friends that live there and have been affected. So this definitely hits close to home. And we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. So you guys will hear this after Milton makes landfall, and
And we've both, you and I have both lived through hurricanes, you in Florida and Houston, me, Katrina in New Orleans. And this is the worst hurricane since Hurricane Katrina. Helene was, and Milton is even worse. And I think right now you and I are both like in that, oh God, we know what this means. Like we know the other side of this. So I hope everybody that can get out is out of town, safer ground, you know, places where you're protected. But we can't do much from here in Texas except try to direct funds that will help people on the ground there. So that's what our plan is. From now until Halloween, 100% of the profits from every single item sold in our online store at sinisterhood.com/shop is going to go directly to organizations that are working hard on disaster relief for those affected by these hurricanes. But that's not it. This is a once in a century, once in a lifetime kind of a storm. So we are also going to, we're like 100% of merch profits helpful, but not enough. So Christy and I are also going to match every dollar you spend. That means 200% of the profits are going to be donated for these communities just to rebuild, recover, whatever they need to help. Essentially, we're going to split them between several organizations working directly with folks in the southeastern U.S. To get the money where it needs to go the most. Some of these areas have been leveled back down to the dirt. So there's a ton of people that are going to be rebuilding from scratch. So that's hopefully what these mutual aid organizations and these local community organizations are doing to literally get help in the hands of those who need it. So for all we can do to help, if you want to pitch in and help us, you can also, we'll just make a list. We're going to make a social media post, let people put mutual aid organizations in the comments and whatnot. So keep a lookout for that. Just a way to try to connect, you know, people in this community, because folks have emailed us like, I'm going through this now. Yeah. So we know this is an immediate need. So now through Halloween, if you buy anything on the store, it's all going to hurricane relief efforts. We're going to match those efforts and then keep an eye out on our socials for a place where you can share mutual aid and resources like that for one another.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of people in our Patreon Facebook group have been sharing stuff as well. So, you know, do your research and see which ones you want to donate to. The ones that we are going to post, we have vetted, and they're all organizations that are well known. So, man, our hearts are really with you all.
Yeah. We've been, like you said, just glued to the news, checking, seeing what all we can do. So hopefully we can help with some of the stuff, you know, some of the immediate needs and ongoing needs after that. But number one thing is take care and stay safe.
Yes. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one ties right into what we were just talking about. This is from Yoko, and it is called From a Survivor, How to Help Hurricane Helene Survivors. Hi, ladies. Trigger warning. This is for those not affected by the hurricane. If you have been, don't listen. You know the story in your bones and don't need to hear mine. I love your podcast, and I had about 2 hours warning before we lost power for 3 days, and I spent 5 of those minutes downloading your episodes. It is worse than anyone can imagine if you weren't there. When we went out Friday morning, after we spent a terrifying night in a dark house, I packed the car with my 6-year-old nonverbal foster daughter, my 19-year-old adopted son, and my sister, and we headed to find cell service and ice. We stopped by our neighbors to see if they needed anything, and that's when we learned we were trapped. They had driven for hours the evening before looking for cell service and ice, and all roads out were washed away or covered. They kept getting turned back by state troopers, who were going to have to be airlifted out themselves that night. Even the back roads through the mountains were closed. "We're sitting ducks," my neighbor said. We went for 2 or 3 days with no contact to the outside world. I can't actually remember how long, as everything is now a blur. We only had my little family and our few friends in the neighborhood. We had a barbecue to cook our food before it spoiled, as our brains slowly melted into no prefrontal cortex functioning. We were completely alone and isolated on an island of land, watching the raging river below our house carrying sycamores by like matchsticks, and a river that had doubled in size overnight. Our beloved land is terraformed in a prehistoric way. Our hearts are ripped open like the very land we live on. We will probably all die younger than we would have otherwise by the unimaginable stress to our system. From that moment, we celebrated getting Wi-Fi back, only to be heart-wrenchingly crushed a minute later as the scenes of our memories were all washed away on Instagram reels. My family member works at the only open funeral home in our two counties, the hardest hit by Hurricane Helene. I can't share the horrors she has seen because they haven't released names or ages of the dead or how they died. But her horror becomes mine as I listen to her sob about her day. I grieve for the truth that I know now that is yet to come out. Everyone in this country should be sharing posts on how to help. No one should go a day without having at least one conversation on how they can support. If you can't give money or donations, send survivors DMs with messages of love, care, and solidarity. Share, share, share what is coming out of the flood zone. We are in this for the long haul, and the world is already moving on without us. We need you all. Please donate to local organizations and grassroots mutual aid groups. They will get money and supplies to those that truly need it most. At Beloved Asheville helps the unhoused and extremely poor. Hood Huggers supports our Black community. Pansy Collective gets support to trans folk. And Foster Family Alliance gave us money so I could get my kids to safety. Thank you for sharing. We need voices outside of the Southeast to amplify our voices. It's shocking how few people are sharing our stories on social media and their news feeds. Much love, Yoko. Well, Yoko, Yoko sent some pictures as well of the flooding and having to read to your kids by a candlelight, you know, in a dark home without power and sitting outside all day where there is light and cooking your food over a fire pit in the backyard. I remember when I moved to Florida when it was like, oh man, 2004 or something. And it was at the time like the most hurricanes that occurred in a 6-week period. There were like five hurricanes. It was like one a week. It was wild. And I remember like using a little propane grill outside to like heat up canned SpaghettiOs and stuff like that. It's, you know, and we had it much better than anyone that I have seen. So there's multiple organizations you can donate to. We're going to link them in our show notes as well as social media, American Red Cross, Salvation Army, AmeriCares, and then there are specific disaster relief funds for North Carolina, Florida, and Georgia, and also the Humane Society and Hope After Helene.
I'm sure there'll be more that come out as well. We'll share those, like the East Tennessee Fund, and there's just every different area has its own small mutual aid and groups like Yoko listed off that serve affinity communities within larger communities. So like Christy said earlier, you know, whatever you feel compelled to donate to, because it's one of those where you feel like, well, I can't donate to all of these things. And it's like, nobody's asking you to do everything. If each of us does the thing that our heart calls us to do, then I think everyone will be cared for. And some hearts will say, well, which one has the least donations? And that's the one I want to donate to, you know? So I think everybody, as long as we're all feeding each other, I think we'll nobody will go hungry. So this is serious, more serious though, than I think any of us even imagine can happen. And I read an article today that said we should be prepared that after Milton, which is going to be probably the worst storm as we are recording this, you know, we think it's going to be the worst storm, that there will be Category 6 hurricanes in the future, that there will be even larger, more devastating ones in the future. So just understanding we got to, in the moment we're in right now, help each other as much as possible, because that's the only way any of us are going to get out of this. Help.
And on a bigger scale, address why this is happening, which is 100% related to global warming. So again, vote for the people that is a primary platform of theirs. The Category 5, yeah, they maxed out with these wins. So now you got to create a Category 6, and then there'll be a Category 7. And land and people and buildings cannot withstand. We cannot fight Mother Nature. So we need to take care of her and take care of each other, like you said. It's wild to see the damage, and it just adds insult to injury that so many people are still dealing with Helene and the aftermath of that. There's so much debris and large debris just lining the streets mm-hmm. that is now just going to be tossed around with this one that's going to hit tonight. So
it's essentially
please stay safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes an already horrible, dangerous situation even worse. So like Yoko said, if you can't give money, mm-hmm. share stuff, you know, mm-hmm. Especially if you're not in the immediate areas or you're not in the United mm-hmm. States, because a lot of people don't know what's going on. And this is unprecedented. Like mm-hmm. no one in our lifetime has seen something like this, perhaps in centuries of lifetimes. So mm-hmm. We really got to do what we can to help everyone that's going to be affected by this. And it's that trickle effect too. People that get, I mean, I read that 3% of the U.S. economy is
in the
direct hit of where this is going to hit.
Yeah.
So it's, even if you're not there, you're going to feel the impact of it.
Certainly. I remember with Katrina too, just seeing from, I felt like very detached from it because I evacuated. I was in Baton Rouge, kind of watching the footage of just like the winds and the floods and things. And then going back, seeing the X markings they did on all the buildings, which was yeah. the federal workers going through. And like the bottom number was like how many people they found inside. And mm-hmm. like initially walking around the city, I was just like, you don't even, you know, you hear a number, you hear a death toll, you see the devastation, but it isn't until you're seeing that individual houses, you know what I mean? It says like four. And it's like, that yeah. was that whole family.
That was a family.
And like mm-hmm. every, you know, for every swath of land you see that's been washed away, like there was a human toll there, whether they left mm-hmm. or couldn't leave. And I don't ever want us to get desensitized by seeing images, because you and I, and I think naturally as human beings, we're like, this looks like a movie. And yeah. then as long as you, the longer you look, you're like, this is real life for people. So I never want us to get desensitized to those images, much like that meteorologist, everybody, the one that went viral, you know, that kind of got choked up. Cause I think mm-hmm. he looks at the maps, but given his experience in the industry, he translates those numbers to humans.
Yeah.
To souls. Well,
and he also sees,
yeah,
he knows what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's the videos are wild. And honestly, we were watching a lot of TikToks last night, mm-hmm. and we both commented on technology is mm-hmm. and social media is good in this way, because mm-hmm. there's so many simulations of people that are like, this is what it's going to look like, you know, AI created, or like showing examples of like, this is mm-hmm. when 5 feet of water surges. Mm-hmm. This is when 15 feet of water surges. Mm-hmm. And seeing that visual reality, I think is a positive thing, because mm-hmm. it sometimes just hearing it, you're like, yeah, how bad? I mean, it's going to be bad, but it's like, no, mm-mm. 15 feet is higher than your fucking house. Your whole house is going to be underwater.
Yeah. There's, like they said, the mayor of Tampa, there's, you will die. Like Mother you Nature are, wins.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's write not your name a, on your
arm. Yeah.
It's a literal life or death situation.
Well,
and really. Please make the right decision. And I know that that's so hard for so many that just don't have the means to leave mm-hmm. and can't. And the highways are so backed up that. Mm-hmm. Now you have to calculate, am I going to get stuck on the highway
yeah.
when this hits? Am I going to run out of gas? But, and I don't have any answers, except I hate that anybody has to go through this. It's mm-hmm. To lose everything you have is unimaginable. But again, it is replaceable. Just you and your pets are the only things that aren't.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you, Yoko, for giving us that first person, you know, a perspective on this mm-hmm. that I think helps put it into context for all of us. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Well, taking a hard left, these next two, didn't know that this was something that two people were going to have in common, but Mac and Ray Cheesy, y'all need to
contact each other because
you have quite similar stories. Well, this one's from Mac, they, them pronouns, and the subject line is, my mom almost got picked up by a serial killer. My mom grew up in Burnaby, New West, British Columbia, and she was a teenager in the 70s/80s. One day, she was biking to work when a car pulled up alongside her, and the man driving rolled down the window. He asked her if she was interested in a job taking care of an old woman, and that it would pay extremely well, a few dollars more than my mom had been making at the time. And if she wanted it, she just had to get in the car with him, and he would take her to go meet the woman. My mom, being a teenager during a time when perhaps people were less true crime aware, was very tempted to take the job, and tells me she would have taken it and gone with him if she hadn't already been late for work for her current job. So she declined, saying she had to get to work. The man was pretty persistent, but eventually left her alone, presumably because they were on a main road during the day and she wasn't getting in his car. A few months after that, my mom read in the newspaper about a serial killer who had been active in her area and had just been caught. A classmate's name was printed in the article, and it said the boy's bike was found in the back of the killer's car. Finally, she saw the photos in the paper of the killer and his car, and it was the same man and same car which had pulled up next to her on the street just a few months before. This is 100% your mom escaped death. Like, there's no question about it, you know? This is wild. And those sliding door moments of she was running late and that's why she didn't get in. So, you know, like we say all the time, like 5 minutes in your day that seems innocuous could literally be, you know, between getting in a car and not getting in a car.
Right. It just so happens that he decided to approach you not when you're on your way home and you have all the time in the world. It's like he happened to approach you and you happened to be late. So you're in a rush. Yeah. Something like that where Mac did not give us the name of the serial killer. We kind of were looking at similar ones in the area. Clifford Olson was in the British Columbia at the time, had a similar MO of asking people in their teens oftentimes like, oh, do you want a job? Do you want work? Some money? So something like that in those eras where it was, you might get work from a person on the side of the road. Who knows? It is such a, just a hair between you and a completely different ending there. So Mac, we're very happy for you that your mom did not decide to get in the car with that person. And happily he got caught pretty quickly thereafter. Yeah. Not soon enough, certainly.
No, but knowing, not only seeing another teen's bike and this, like, and you were on a bike, but also being your classmate. That is really, really difficult. But what a just horribly eerie, unique type of eerie to see that and then be like, that was going to be me.
And it gives you a certain sense of, you know, empathy for the victims that did not get away because you go, he was such a nice guy. You know, he was real friendly and clean cut and he was, you know, kind of funny, you know, and you figure out like, God, if I hadn't have been late.
Yeah. Well, this next one is from Ray Cheesy and the subject line is, that time my mom survived a kidnapping from a serial rapist and murderer. Content warning, there are mentions of sexual assault. OMG. Hello, ladies. I am a huge fan and have been a long-time listener since 2016, I think, but this is my first time writing in. I was part of the crew from Lumonati's that sent you frozen deep dish pizza a few years ago. I no longer work there, though. Every time I hear a Freaky Friday episode, I kick myself for not writing in yet. I have more than a few true crime and paranormal stories to share, but I have just been procrastinating writing in. Let me start with my mother's kidnapping. I hate that we lost the newspaper clipping of the story because the details would really help right about now. I tried looking it up, but sadly, my research skills are not that great. It happened in 1986, I believe, in or around Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So my mom has always been a bit of an exaggerated storyteller. And to be honest, for some of my life, I questioned whether she was telling the truth about this one. But it wasn't until my early teens that I came across the newspaper clipping she saved that backed up her story. For context, my parents had me at a very early age. My mom had barely turned 16 in August of 83, and my dad had turned 17 in September, and I came along in October. So it was a rough start for both of them being teens with a baby and still in high school. After graduation, they broke up for a while, and my dad pursued becoming a priest for a bit, which is crazy once I tell you his true crime story. When that didn't pan out, he joined the army and was stationed in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Meanwhile, my mom stayed behind in our small Chicago suburb, trying to make ends meet by waitressing and raising me with the help of her overprotective family. Anyway, after a few years of her trying to do it on her own as a single mom, she got fed up with her family and decided to pack me up and make the drive to North Carolina to reunite with my dad. Their relationship was a hot mess, and they fought constantly. So after 6 months of us three giving it a go, my aunt came to pick me up and bring me back to Illinois to give my parents a break. My parents shared one car at the time, so it was up to my mom to drop off and pick up my dad from work on base. So one afternoon, she stopped for gas. She went in to pay, and when she came out, she witnessed a man opening her trunk and placing a bicycle inside. She described him as an average height, skinny white guy. And for context, she was 19 and has always been petite, only 4'8", and I'm guessing around 95 pounds at the time. So she questioned the man as to what he was doing opening her car. He pulled out a gun and instructed her not to scream, but to act normal and get in the passenger seat. Scared and not knowing what to do, she complied. He got in the driver's seat and told her that if she does what he says, he will let her go safely. So at the time, she told me that all she could think about was me and that she would do whatever she had to do to survive and see me again. They drove off, and for whatever reason, she didn't recognize anything around her. It was all looking very rural. With her hand on the door handle, she contemplated jumping out and making a run for it. But he noticed and told her that if she did that, he promised to chase her down and kill her. So she began crying and begging him to drive her car correctly. You see, her car was a stick shift, and the kidnapper was struggling to drive it. She said, "If you mess up the clutch, my boyfriend will kill me." And she purposely was giving him false instructions on how to drive a stick so that the car would jerk in hopes to attract attention. He was growing frustrated with her and the car and her crying. Meanwhile, my mom didn't notice that the man had been speeding, running stop signs and stoplights, so they eventually attracted the attention of a cop on patrol. The cop began following them and pulled them over. The guy driving proceeded to stick the gun in my mom's side and forcefully said, "Don't say a word. Let me do the talking or I will shoot you." She nodded in agreement. As the cop approached the vehicle, he said, "Can I ask what the big hurry is?" The kidnapper said, "I'm so sorry, officer. Was I speeding? You see, we just got married and we were in a hurry to get to the hotel, if you know what I mean. Right, honey?" My mom must have looked terrified, but she nodded yes as instructed. The stupid cop almost bought the story and was about to let them off with a warning. But when the kidnapper turned back toward the cop to smile, appear normal, and thank him, my mom signaled to the cop that the man had a gun. The cop calmly asked the guy to step out of the vehicle and promptly put him in cuffs and arrested him. My mom was then forced to come down to the station to make a statement. Turns out, this guy had been wanted as a serial rapist and murderer. The whole ordeal took hours, and my mom never made it to pick my dad up from work. When she finally came home and told my dad about the nightmare she had just lived through, he didn't believe her. He called her a liar, and they got in a big fight about it. Like I said, their relationship was always a hot mess. It wasn't until a couple of days later when a coworker brought him the newspaper in shock, asking if his girlfriend was all right, that he finally believed my mom and apologized. I wish I could tell you the name of the guy, but we sadly lost the newspaper clipping in a move. I could give you her full name if you wanted to do your own digging for the news article, but that, the year, and general location is all I have to go on. The kidnapper was sentenced to 20 years, I think. About 15 years ago, my mom called me hysterically crying. It took her a few minutes to get the words out. She was so shaken. But basically, she had been watching the news and there was a story about the same man who had kidnapped her being let out for time served. He immediately went on to offend again, raping and murdering another woman. When she saw his photo on the news, she recognized him and a wave of emotion hit her and she began to panic. I just tried to calm her down and reminded her that he had been sent straight back to jail in North Carolina and we now live in Illinois again, so she was safe. So yeah, that's my mom's story of surviving a kidnapping from a serial rapist and murderer. Now wait until you hear about my dad's story of being kidnapped years later and how he got out of it to live to tell the tale. Thanks for reading my story. I love everything about you ladies and the incredible content you produce for the world. While I'm on a roll, I will not hesitate to write in my dad's story next as to not leave you hanging. Love you, mean it. Bye, Rachel.
Well, Rachel. Well, first of all, we distinctly remember that Lou Malnati's package you sent us. And as soon as you said that, we both were like, thank you. That came at the height of the pandemic and it was everything.
I was busting at the seams pregnant because that shirt, I have a picture of me in the Lou Malnati shirt holding the pizza, and I am days away from giving birth. And man, that pizza, I think about that pizza at least once a week.
Oh, it hits the spot.
So good.
Oh, we love Lou Malnati's. And you, Rachel, even though you don't work there, but we do appreciate the gesture, and we appreciate you taking the time to write this tale in. This is a horrifying event for your mom to have to deal with. Not only literally being kidnapped and held hostage, but then to get home and have your partner be like, yeah, right. What?
The way I, like, the second worst thing that would have happened that day was me being kidnapped. The first is what would have happened.
To the moon!
To the moon! If my partner was like, no, you weren't. I'm like, do you know the ordeal I just went through?
Do you want to see where my ribs, where he shoved the gun in me? Yeah, that is eerie. And to have the cop be like, all right, well, you guys keep on going. And be like, he has a gun. Don't let him go.
When the excuse, too, is so like gross and weird, like, you know, you could suss that out. Again, I really believe your mom escaped death.
Imminent just like, demise.
Just like Max. Yeah, and what a bizarre thing to have in common, the two of you. But, you know, it's kind of a stark reminder that this stuff happens more than we think about or even know about.
Right. It's for every, you know, serial killer or serial offender we hear about, there are maybe 5 to 10 per victim that he tried it on and it didn't work, or it got interrupted, or got away for whatever other reason. And it's so eerie to think about. Like you said, it happens. The attempts happen more often than not. So please feel free, Rachel, to also write in about your dad's kidnapping, because I'm fascinated to hear. They said afterwards, so your mom got kidnapped, and then years later afterwards, your dad got kidnapped. And I would also like to hear, when it happened, what your mom's reaction was to
right?
him. Because that seemed, to me, it seems more unbelievable. If I was kidnapped and then later on you came and claimed to me you were kidnapped, statistically, it seems unlikely. But I'm interested in the details. I'm not passing judgment until I hear the details.
Absolutely. To have both of your parents be kidnapped as adults,
in
nonetheless,
different situations.
Is that is a unique experience. And to also, I mean, obviously, it sounds like your parents don't have a great relationship. I'm not sure if they're still together. But imagine if, like, you and Paris both had in common that you were both kidnapped as adults.
Right.
And after you had been together, that
happened.
After
we've been together in separate incidents years apart. Yeah.
That's wild.
The statistics on that I'd be interested in what they are. But please feel free to share, Rachel. We'd love to hear it. And thanks for sending this one in. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. This next one is from Taylor, and the subject line is Escaped Big Cats, and she has a content warning for us. There are mentions of animal abuse and death. Taylor writes, hello to you all, husbands, children, and pets included. I was recently listening to a Freaky Friday episode that mentioned the werepanther and how Heather found research about released escaped big cats, and I had to share this story. I'm from a small town in Idaho, about 45 minutes from where this incident took place. In Lava Hot Springs, Idaho, there was a couple who were anti-government and considered themselves sovereign citizens. They had a compound full of lions and tigers, which they bred to have ligers, the lion-tiger cross, just like Napoleon Dynamite. I guess their end goal was to charge people to see their ligers. Supposedly, the animals were not well cared for, and their cages were terrible and not very sturdy. In September 1995, a lion escaped and was seen by a neighbor stalking his cattle. They then found the owner pinned underneath another escaped lion. The owner was alive, just stuck. When officers tried to ask the owner how many cats or animals they had, the owners basically told the police to fuck off. It was later determined that 42 lions, tigers, or ligers had escaped. Over the week, the community gathered together to donate time and money to help find and care for the escaped cats. And of course, everyone was advised to be on high alert. An article I read quoted the sheriff stating they got numerous calls of people trying to buy lion cubs, including the actress Tippi Hedren. Eventually, a woman named Martine Collette, who had an animal sanctuary in California, came and helped capture the lions to take to the sanctuary. Unfortunately, some of the animals were still killed, as they were a threat to people and livestock. The last lion was seen crouching near an elementary school and was shot by a local. There were other animals that escaped as well. A fish and game officer was injured after being bitten by a wolf hybrid, but to my understanding, that was the only injury. This story is still big news around here, and typically there are news articles around the anniversary of the event. Thank you for everything, Taylor.
So scary, so sad, so ignorant of these people to think you can play God. And one, that you are capable of feeding and taking care of these cats in the way that they need. Like, I remember that show. It was on the Animal Planet, or was it A&E? It was all about people that had animals they shouldn't, and inevitably they usually are killed by them because you're not supposed to have them. No. And then they get out, and those animals didn't have any say in what was going on. You're trying to breed a liger so you can charge money, and then you can't take care of them.
No, that's a big, all those animals are way, way bigger than one or two people alone with shoddy cages could at all care for. But it's just that hubris, that ignorant arrogance of like, we'll make $1 million. Let's get a bunch of lagers in here and charge tickets to it. Not realizing it's horrible for the animals. It's horrible for you. It's very dangerous for the community. The second one of them gets out, like they said, it's crouching near an elementary school. And it's sad because in that case, the lion is doing what it's supposed to do, which is to hunt prey. You know, it's great prey. Humans that aren't going to run away very fast, small children. So it's like now you've endangered the children, you've endangered the animal, both of whom are completely innocent. And now a local who's just rolling by has to stop the lion to keep it from eating kids. And at the head of all of this is these two fucking idiots who decided they were going to do it for money, for fun.
Sovereign citizen. Y'all, you had to tell me you're a sovereign citizen. And a picture was painted because. And then they show up to help you, and you have the audacity to be like, fuck off. We're not going to tell you how many lions we have. You got to, because they're patrolling the city. They're going to kill your fellow neighbor.
Yeah, there's roving bands of like an entire zoo is open. But yeah, you roll up on a guy and he's got a lion on top of him, and you're like, you need some help, buddy? How many lions you got? Fuck you. It's like, well, I'm going to let that lion do its thing. I'm going to leave. Bye-bye. Because you've made your choice. But yeah, you're right. Once you hear sovereign citizens, that tells you about all you need to know. There is almost no more ignorant breed than a sovereign citizen. Ignorantly arrogant. So thank you, Taylor. Those stories like this, it reminds me of the one in Ohio we heard about as well, where it's like, it is oftentimes one irresponsible person at fault.
Yeah, just like Tiger King.
Well, thank you, Taylor. This next one is from my daughter, Anonymous, and she writes, possible alien sighting? Hi, ladies. I'm a recent listener and started off on the Jehovah's Witness episodes, which hit hard for me since some of my family is in that religion. I appreciate your knowledge on the topic and respect for the victims. Anyway, let me stop rambling and tell you my story. To set the scene, I live in a relative rural area out in the middle of nowhere. The nearest nearby is a couple miles away. For context, we've had weird things happen around our house before. I used to regularly see drones flying around our house about a year or so ago, but it was rare to see them now. I was out on the porch one evening with my brother and a friend I'll call A. We were stargazing and enjoying the peaceful quiet of the night when my brother pointed at the sky and yelled, "What's that?" I rolled my eyes, giving him the classic older sister superiority stare while saying, "It's probably just a star." "No," he insisted, and stood up, continuing to look at it. As A and I leaned closer, trying to tell if he was telling the truth, we saw a fast-moving object in the sky. It looked high up, but we could see the bright beam of light on the object. The object practically sped around to where we were standing, and it was moving too fast to be a plane, but too high to be a drone. We watched in shock as it kind of zigzagged around and moved erratically, but quickly. A and my brother freaked out and ran inside, but I stayed outside, staring at it with my hands on my hips, squinting. I suddenly shouted as I saw it head away from us, and I heard the muffled yell of my brother from the window, "Look, another one!" I craned my neck to see, yep, another one. This one was the same size and speed, heading in the opposite direction. Finally, getting my bearings, I scrambled to grab my binoculars and peered up at the sky, and miraculously, I caught it. It was hard to describe. The build was almost triangular, but with rounded edges and a smooth gray color. I could see one red light on one edge and a green light on the other as it sped in the opposite direction. I gasped and dropped the binoculars, now beginning to freak out with the others. Drones didn't look like that. I knew well from having them chase me and A down our road once. Let me know if you want to hear that story too. And this wasn't some plane. Since that fateful day, I'm sad to say I have not figured out what those strange objects in the sky were. A pair of military jets, maybe? Or some alien spaceships? Thank you so much for reading this, ladies. And even if it doesn't get on the show, I'm so grateful for the hard work you do putting in these episodes for us. Rock on. P.S. I would like to hear your takes on the Menendez brothers case, especially the new Netflix series about them. It's very controversial, and I'd love to hear what you think. From Anonymous. Well, thank you, Anonymous.
Well, I think your daughter saw an UAP.
You did, my dear. You've lived my dream, which yes. is to see a UAP. That's interesting. I'm interested if anyone listening has seen something anomalous in the sky that sort of fits this description of triangular with rounded edges, a smooth gray color, red light on one side, green light on the other. The erratic movement is what gets me because I feel like drones move in a sort of drone-ish way, up, down, mm-hmm. left, right, you know. But a lot of times these UAPs are zigzagging in like crazy ways that I don't think modern drones are capable
mm-hmm.
of.
Yeah, and just two speeds, go and stop, yeah. green and red. Green and we're red. Either going or stopping, boys.
Boys, yeah, this is, I mean, I think I would have done what you did, which is to stand out on the porch with my hands on my hips so the apple don't fall far from the tree. I'd be like, I'm going to get a good look at it. But that's, it's funny that you say, Anonymous, like, I managed to catch it in my binoculars because that's like my number one thing. Binocular, telescope, whatever is, I'm always like trying to like, shit. You know, when you put it to your eyes, you can't aim it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, of course, when something like this is happening, it's like, damn it, I just missed it. But the fact that you got him up to your eyes and got on it, that's huge because I would be like, damn it, I wish my phone could do that.
It's the pressure. It's like you're trying to, to capture something like that is so stressful if mm-hmm. unless you just happen to be filming at the time, but you got it. So no picture, but you got that picture in your brain
right
forever.
Up there. Right up mm-hmm. there, right up there. Well, if anybody listening has seen something similar in shape to Anonymous, please write in to Freaky Friday so we can start. Or if you're like, oh, I work in aviation and that's definitely a blank. Also mm-hmm. write in because we love to be able to give people answers of like, what the hell was it? We've had people message in and go, I think I saw something. And then when you look, you're like, oh, it's those Starlink satellites that mm-hmm. they make those like crazy dots in the sky and stuff like that. So I like to, if we hear of something anomalous, to be able to debunk it as well as we can, as the Ghost Guild taught us, you know, mm-hmm. at least try to find what it might be. And if you check all those off, then that's when you know you have a UFO UAP.
Could be. As far as the Menendez brothers case, we recently spoke about the updates in their case and also the Netflix series. And there's also a Hulu documentary.
Fun. And one on Peacock as well.
Peacock. There's a couple of them. Yeah. In a recent True Crime Headlines over on Patreon. And we covered the Menendez brothers back.
It was
a couple years ago.
Yeah, episode 46 and 47. So it was like spring of 2019 when we were covering them. So
wow.
That if you want our coverage on the original trials, that is in 46 and 47. And then, yeah, like Christy said, this most recent True Crime Headlines, we talk about the new evidence and what the district attorney is saying about it and what that might mean for them all.
Mm-hmm. And also the Netflix series and how they and their families feel about it. Yeah.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Anonymous, and I hope we can help you solve this mystery.
Yeah. Or conjure another one.
Yeah, right.
Maybe us talking about it, we'll be like, they're talking about us down there. We better go check in.
We're back. We're back.
Guess who's back? Well, we hope that if you do see them, just send them over to our way.
Yeah,
just
tell them to
do
come this way.
They can just do a flyby, and we'll be outside probably in your tents.
Come by on October 17th at the Texas Theater outside. It's like whenever you're at a baseball game and there's a military flyover, we need to organize a UAP flyover for the final show and live stream.
Like the Blue Angels, but better.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this last one, the story 5 was from my daughter, Anonymous. Is story 6 from your guinea pig, Luna?
I hope, given the subject line, that it isn't, but I can't confirm.
You can't prove
it. She might know how to type, for all I know.
Well, we're going to assume this is Luna the human writing in with the subject line, "My house is haunted." Hi, gals. I live directly on top of what was once a Hohokam and then Apache settlement, which was conquered and then made into a military base. So my house is haunted. It's a benevolent spirit, and we think they are a Native American ghost. Our reasoning for that is that we sometimes hear wood instruments talking in an unknown language and smell fire frequently. The ghost also does not like anything to do with the military. I have family in multiple branches of the military, and any memorabilia or trinkets that are connected to the military end up broken, lost, or, at the very least, moved into an odd location. We finally got what I believe to be the spirit on our Ring camera. For some context, this camera is pointed directly at the front door. On either side of the door is a stucco exterior wall. I could be explaining this poorly, but basically there's nothing on either side that would cause a reflection, as the front door is recessed between two walls. I'm not sure what was on the video, but I would like some opinions. If you'd like to hear my experiences working at a haunted strip club, let me know. Otherwise, I'll keep my yap trap closed. Love you, ladies. And the video is attached.
Well, before we get to the video, yes, of course, first of all, send in haunted strip club stories, always. Yeah. You never have to ask if you want to hear about those.
Certainly.
This video,
I'm going to watch it again.
It's pretty spooky. It's pretty eerie. We're going to share it on socials as long as there's nothing that would give away any kind of personal information. But
no, we'll block it all out. There's nothing.
It appears as if something moves across the screen in a wispy humanoid type shape.
It's moving in not a way, in my opinion, that looks like a reflection off of something else. Like, it's not moving like a car drives by would be a very like a singular move. It's kind of like a back and forth movement. And I think the description of the stucco walls is helpful because, like Luna said, it's not, I don't think anything's like, you know, reflecting off of anything, but it's an interesting movement. It bounces from around one side over toward the inside and just sort of goes back and forth. So we'll put it on our social media, on our Freaky Friday post and see what all y'all think.
Yeah. I think you got to keep checking that camera 24/7, maybe even get a couple other ones out there and see if you can pick up anything else. Living on top of the type of land that you do, there's a lot of, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if things were going on.
Truly, I mean, when you have something that was a home of people, that's got a lot of energy. And then if the home was destroyed through violence, that's going to bring a darker kind of energy. And then especially if on top of that, it is a military installation, which is more loss and death and pain that can happen. I think perhaps someone listening that is more experienced in the paranormal with us may have some advice on things that rituals you can perform or something that would maybe make the spirit feel more at ease or leave, or I don't know, something like that. Since, you know, if you're going to live there and you peacefully coexist, who knows, maybe there's some kind of a ritual that can help the spirit that's there and help you if they're moving and hiding your shit.
Yeah, right. And a way also to learn about the history of where you live and everything. That can often be helpful with situations like this. But, you know, the military stuff is interesting. Of all the things that, like, you know, if somebody had a negative association with that, it is interesting. So we'll definitely share that. And yes, please, Luna, if you're my guinea pig, I want to know what strip club you're working at. But if you're not, please send in those those tales as well.
Yeah, we'd love to hear those. Thank you so much. And yeah, folks, head over to our Instagram and Facebook and tell us what you think of this video. What do you think you're seeing? Because it is eerie to me. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you've felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free just to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 900 hours of various segments like True Crime Headlines, Judge Christie, Am I the Asshole, Dear Sinister, Unpopular Opinions, the list goes on and on.
And the really cool thing is, if you are a free member in October, it's the perfect time to be a free member because we are doing a live stream event that's open to everybody, including free members, not just free trial members. So if you've been a free member and you're enjoying your once monthly bonus content, jump on October 30th at 8 p.m. Central and enjoy your live stream video watch along as we watch a monster movie. And it's either going to be Cocaine Werewolf, Sharkula, or Ebola Rex. And last I checked, Cocaine Werewolf is in the lead. It should surprise
cocaine
no
werewolf's
one.
In the
He's
lead.
Very fast. If you think about a Cocaine Werewolf, it's very fast.
Oh, yeah. I thought Sharkula was going to take it, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm still going to have to watch Sharkula if it
right,
doesn't win because the synopsis of that was so bananas that I got to have some
just
questions
like,
answered.
Count Dracula walks into the ocean and we're like, pow, I have so many questions. Someone on the comments was like, y'all don't sleep on Sharkula. Why are y'all voting for Cocaine Werewolf? So make your voice heard. And you don't even have to sign up. Like we said, it's not a free trial. It's for all the free members. That is on October 30th. But we also, before that, we've got two other live streams. October 24th, we're going to have a live episode discussion at 8 p.m. Central. We're going to discuss that week's episode. It is our return to the Trans-Allegheny Asylum in West Virginia, and it's going to feature our ghost searching bud. I don't want to say ghost hunting because we don't hunt them. We
our ghosty bestie.
Them. Our ghosty bestie, Nelson Nouse from the Ghost Guild, who is there leading our adventure and can answer questions about the technical side of what you'll hear and see in the video accompaniment from our discussion about going to Trans-Allegheny when we said we would never go, but we went anyway.
We covered it. Oh gosh, what was that episode?
2019. Again, it was a...
That was in the before time.
So many before times.
But it was fascinating to go back and see all the things that we had talked about, but also get a totally different perspective and really learn about the history. So we're going to talk all about that. There is a lot of footage, too, and it's creepy stuff. So
creepy
tune
stuff.
In. What a fun October. We got the live show and then so many live streams.
Yeah, we're going to be hanging out with y'all in real time, multiple times. Not only that, October is the best time to join. You get 2 months free on any annual Patreon memberships. The deal is both for new members, so tell a friend who's been thinking about signing up, and it's for current monthly members who want to switch to annual subscriptions. It's the best deal offered that we've offered on Patreon, 16% off, so now is the time to lock it in. It's only available on new annual memberships. Current annual memberships are not eligible for the discount. The offer ends October 31st, so don't miss out. You can head to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And like we said up top, through the month of October, we're not only donating 100% of the profits from these sales on our online shop, but we're also going to match them 100% as well. So if you've been thinking about getting something for yourself or someone else, now is the time. You can head over to Patreon, get that Patreon discount if you want to do a discount on it. But note that all the profits will be going to an array of Southeastern U.S. hurricane relief organizations now through the end of October.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links for our October 17th Full Moon Energy Tour last show, as well as our digital experience with Moment.
Yeah, if you can't be here in Dallas, join from wherever you're at. And if you can't watch exactly on the 17th at 8 o'clock, that's okay. It's available for 14 days afterwards. But if you want to join live and join that Q&A, be sure you connect your Patreon so you get in there. So moment.co/sinisterhood for the digital one. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Watch full video versions of our Wednesday episodes on YouTube, and they come out ad-free on Patreon. Plus, check out clips of the show on TikTok and order custom video shout-outs on Cameo. It could be happy birthday, happy anniversary, congrats, good luck, pep talk for yourself, whatever. Just order them over on Cameo. We love to deliver them.
Mm-hmm. And now we got three new things that can be in it.
That's true. If you want to get a, Christy's taken to calling them the girls. So if you want us girls and the girls, meaning mm-hmm. Thelma, Louise, and Luna, I bet we could work that out as well. So let us know in your cameo request, and we'll see if the girls can make a cameo in your cameo.
Oh, yeah. Their condo came today. So
the guinea pig condo.
They are very set up right now. They are just running around having a ball.
Scuttling.
This is the first time Luna officially met the other two. They were in like separate cages before, but because we had to keep them quarantined.
Oh,
you gotta do that just to make sure they're okay. And also that one of them isn't accidentally a boy.
Right.
But they're all getting along well. And she seems very happy that she has some mates again after Sweet Pearl. So it's we definitely can get them in some cameos.
Oh yeah, I'm excited.
I also have costumes for them.
Yes. Oh my gosh. The costumes. Halloween is just on the horizon, and I can't wait to see them. So well, where can people find you on the internet and presumably pictures of these beautiful creatures?
Oh yes. I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Sinister.